God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing in the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, workman, does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this evening, where we'll conclude with the doctrine of homosexuality, then have the doctrine of compassion as our next doctrine we'll approach. All right, God's plan has provided a rapid recovery system for our personal sin in life, that is the rebound technique, the application of 1 John 1:9, where in our intellectual honesty before God, we confess our sins, known or unknown, for that point in time, and He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are filled with God the Holy Spirit, as that is the mechanics for that operation, and we are otherwise predisposed via our human spirit that operates in tandem with the Holy Spirit to assimilate the truth of doctrine, undistorted by the sin nature, and then this way approach God's Word in its purest of forms, so intended, and providing the spiritual insight that the Bible obviously has intentions of in regards to its communication that the rest of the world is blind to and fails to see in this matter. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will light us to the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here to wrap up the doctrine of homosexuality. In summary, in conclusion, Roman numeral 9, page 3 of our notes. First and foremost, homosexuality, which includes lesbianism, not just the sodomites, but the lesbians of the world, is a sin. It's a criminal offense under the Mosaic law. And an abnormal sexual activity is abnormal perversion in the sexual areas of sinning versus the normal perversions, which is sex between members of the opposite sex in this respect. So in spite of what society, the world, etc., proclaims, we have God's viewpoint on this matter, and truly, every man be a liar, but his word will stand forever and be vindicated ultimately in this regard. So B, divine judgment is seen in disease in regards to this particular sin. Authorization for government to administer the death penalty as seen under the Mosaic law, and the overthrow of whole segments of the human race. The societies, the Jordanian Valley, under in line with Sodom and Gomorrah, their activities, and nations, obviously, as they would be city-states, having kings over the particular areas. And it also has impact in regards to judgment upon nations in the last days in this respect. So see, homosexuality and society's acceptance of it is a major sign that the fifth cycle is near. Under national discipline that ends in ultimate dispersion or destruction of a present nation, there are five general cycles that can be attributed to the exercise of national discipline, Leviticus 26. It is an integrated process of disobedience to God's word that's involved. Here, as this is addressed to Israel as God's priest nation, but as applicable to other nations obviously, in light of culpability and other aspects that would be thrown into the mix. But God's grace is not forever, even though men may fantasize that it is. And ultimately, God overthrows nations for different distortions and rejections of His plan and word otherwise within their societies. For Israel, obviously there is blessing for them if they align with God's word, keep the law, i.e. He instituted under His ceremonial, legal, dietary codes, etc., which obviously is prevalent to aligning with God's plan otherwise, as these things so instruct and teach. And blessing can be expected in that regards, but verse 14, if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments. And again, we see God gives Israel grace. It doesn't happen just overnight immediately, but over time. And then finally, God pulls the plug, so to speak, and opens up the door of wrath upon them. If instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances, looking at the laws, the instructions, commands of the Mosaic law, Bible doctrine, the do's and don'ts, the soul abhorring these things looks at the rejection of these things. It's detestable, becomes detestable to people. They are not willing to even admit when they're wrong and pull in their horns in their rejection. The very attitude that you see among liberals and those types that are known for blatant disregard to conservative biblical principles otherwise in their lives. They can't even won't even recognize that they're wrong, even though you can show it to them, etc. That's because their whole soul abhors these things. And so break my covenant, which is conditional in terms of blessing for a nation with respect to one aligning up with God or not. 16, I in turn, in the first cycle of it, will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption and fever, that is health tests, start becoming more and more prevalent. That you shall waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. That looks at obviously not only physical maladies, but emotional, psychological maladies. See, the soul pining away. The depression that people like to blame on society, that people don't otherwise get their way. See. You can't let me be whatever sex I fantasize that I am, and therefore I'm depressed. And you cause people like me to commit suicide. Well, we would do better. But obviously, you can take that any way you want. Obviously, we understand and have compassion. But that is not true. People have their own choices. Just because people want to pretend something, that they are something when they are not, does not obviously do away with the truth of the matter otherwise. And you don't compromise the truth just so other people can pretend and they try to force you to pretend along with them. It's crazy, it's nuts. Battle on. Also, you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies will eat it up. All the endeavors economically, etc., rather than being a financially, economically sound exporting type nation, one becomes an importing type nation. Much of the wealth is dispersed outside of the immediate national periphery. And I will set my face against you, so you shall be struck down before your enemies. Verse 17. Your affairs, warfares, attempts, battles will start getting a hit. And you'll be experiencing less than success. And those who hate you will rise over you, will rule over you, and you will flee when no one is pursuing you. If also after these things, I don't know why I was trying to call him there, but it almost came out. If also, after these things, the second cycle, you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. It will proportionally become greater in regards to the maladies, the effects of God's judgment upon the nation. Just as we see it, things start becoming more and more prevalent, and it becomes more intense in societies in regards to these things. And the culpability factor increases the longer God's grace allows it to maintain its course. Hence, punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I'll also break down your pride of power, the arrogance that comes from those who have the authority, the money, or other aspects of wielding power to promote these types of things within society. And you will flee when no one is pursuing you, looking behind your shoulder because of the constant potential and possibility of unexpected attacks, etc. Read terrorists, ISIS, you know, all these things. All these things that we're seeing today, right here in front of us. Also these things, you know, okay, and I will also break down your pride, power. I'll also make your sky like iron, your earth like bronze. God will manipulate the weather, verse 19, affecting to have a negative impact on agriculture and things of this nature. And your strength will be spent uselessly, for your land shall not yield its produce, and the trees of land will not yield their fruit. Now, there's more than one way to skin a cat on this. You know, rich people can coerce the government in taking away land, so the resources are not available to third parties otherwise. See, the resources that are there, all this screaming and crying that we're going to run out of oil, etc. Give me a break. Sure, whenever you confiscate all the land, don't let anybody be able to drill or explore it, you know, for things. Yeah, I understand that it should be done being a good steward of the land. I have no problem with that whatsoever, but understand. It's more important people have a trail to be able to hike down and go ooh and all over things than it is to put food on people's table. See, that type of idea. But anyway. Verse 21, third cycle. If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you 7 times according to your sins. continues to multiply in regards to the intensity of God, if you will, putting the screws to the nation to try to get them to wake up. See, that's the whole idea. Verse 22, and I will let loose among you the beasts of the field, which shall bereave you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and reduce your numbers so that your roads lie deserted. Wild animal population will tend to turn on men, and even though men are supposed to be authority over it, they become victims in this respect. A wild animal may come in the form of a mosquito carrying a certain disease. Think about that number. Viruses, things of that nature that they can carry through ticks, different insects. They're wild. It doesn't always have to be tigers and lions and bears or that big boa that measured like 21 feet they found a body of a man in over in India. So I want to move down to Florida, fine. Because they're down there now. People have been bringing them over and letting them go. Anyway. Verse 23, fourth cycle. And if by these things you are not again turned to me, the conditional ifs brings out these different cycles, if you haven't caught on. But act with hostility against me. The denial, the rejection of doctrine, is seen before God as an act of hostility towards him. That doesn't make a difference what one's attitude otherwise is. Then I will act with hostility against you. And I, even I, verse 24, will strike you 7 times for your sins. And also bring upon you a sword which will execute vengeance for the covenant. Those who will come in on Israel and operate on God's behalf as he uses them as instruments of discipline upon the nation during warfare, outside aggression, etc. And it's operated on behalf of the covenant, the Mosaic covenant. And when you gather together into your cities, I will send pestilence among you, so you will be delivered into enemies' hands. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and will bring back your bread in ration amounts so that you will eat and not be satisfied. Again, affecting the economy and your very living grace. 27, yet if in spite of this you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with wrathful hostility against you. And I, even I, will punish you 7 times for your sins. Further, you shall eat the flesh of your sons, the flesh of your daughters, you will eat. Turn to cannibalism as surrounding armies lay siege to the city and to the country, and no other place to get food. It's amazing what people will do and turn to if the situation is severe enough. You hear stuff, the extent people will go, like that kid that got hiking, got his arm caught in a rock and couldn't get it out, and he sit there with a pocket knife and cut his own hand off so he could get away. I would have used that pocket knife and done something else with it, but not that. You know, that's just me. I would have chipped away at that rock for the rest of my life. If you thought I was thinking about stabbing myself otherwise. Anyway. Then I will destroy your high places. Verse 30, looking at the forms of idolatry that has been established in the place of God's ordinances as the means and guidelines and regulations of ideology, etc., that men are turning to operate under as a nation versus biblical norms and standards. That's destroying your high places and cut down your incense altars and heap your remains on the remains of your idols, for my soul will abhor you. I will lay waste your cities as well, and will make your sanctuaries desolate, and will not smell your soothing aromas. This is the final stage, the final act, as God will essentially destroy them as a nation. Remnants may continue to exist, obviously, as they're taken captive. Over time, almost all nations that have been destroyed over history are assimilated into the other nations that conquer over them, and they lose their national identity in that respect. American Indian is one of the few that still kind of retain their own national identity, but obviously they're still kind of in the land too. But Israel, over all the course of history, the Jews have always retained their national identity. They are an exception in this respect. And that's because God's got plans for them that go beyond the immediate history of the time. And I will make the land, verse 32, desolate, so that your enemies who settle in it shall be appalled over it. That's the curse over the geography of Israel. When they're out of the land, it will be non-productive, as it has been, as it was for almost 2,000 years, from 70 AD to 1948. And now, obviously, the Jews, since they've been in the land now some 60, going on 70 years, has done great things in regards to turning the land around for productivity. You, however, I will scatter among the nations and will draw a sword after you as your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste. So obviously, homosexuality as is otherwise revealed in the Bible in historical settings such as Sodom and Gomorrah, that would be one of the things that would obviously bring about violation of God's statutes in that respect. And again, as we read there in Judges, Israel had to battle it even within their own nation. D, practically every segment of American society is pro-sodomy. The National Education Association, you know, the people that run your schools, that have the say-so in regards to laws and guidelines. Obviously, Hollywood, sports world, etc., entertainment world, courts, liberal judges, adoption agencies, clergy. It basically wraps in everybody that's lets go of sound doctrine and their common sense in life. Women's lib, government, be it its anti-discrimination policy with respect to hiring, the military, etc. E, the practitioners and promoters of this evil seek to exploit you with false statements. They'll ply you with all their sophistries, their educational badges that they say gives them authority to define what the reality is. You know, Peter 2:3, probably 2 Peter. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Those who are false teachers. You got to understand, religious organizations support these government agendas. Many of them do. And of course, that does nothing less than create a conflict within the circle of supposed Christians and how people believe. You can almost see why it's hard for an unbeliever otherwise to give Christianity an ear anymore because of the plethora of approaches that Christians present and propose in regards to the Bible, arguing in regards to certain aspects of the Bible, because they have turned, the church has turned lukewarm. And they've allowed the air, the mixture of error into the truth, and tend to rationalize and compromise the truth in such fashion. Now, you can't believe what you see on the internet necessarily, and it's hard to believe even what you hear from churches anymore. When I got hooked into truth, I said, I'm not going anywhere else. If I got to get the truth, if there's another place to get the truth, you're going to have to be pretty blatantly obvious about a God. Satan's scheme of confusion is brilliant and has taken its toll over history, throughout history. And your salvation is to stick with the truth in the purest of ways and forms of which the Bible itself teaches us to do and to adhere to. Isolation of the sin nature, maintaining your NPR, sticking to the text of the truth of Bible doctrine, and applying these things in your life. You start becoming lax, apathetic in any area, even in application. It will create weaknesses in regards to your defense, in regards to the world. You pick the doctrine. See? And it will have impact in a negative way in regards to your life. We see the entire history of the church age as is outlined for us in the book of Revelation, in the message to the seven churches. And we see just how less than completely successful the Church Universal is in its witness. What, two churches out of seven are the only ones that don't have condemnation against them? That's just phenomenal. But that's the nature of mankind and history in and of itself. Positive volition, those adjusted to doctrine, have always been of the minority in regards to historical situations, apart from a couple exceptions. Noah was obviously one of the few of his time. But after everybody else was wiped out, etc. So, you know, parents, it's up to you. You know, I'm glad I'm not a parent with a kid in school anymore. My parents are probably glad they're gone on before me and they don't have to put up with me anymore, too, in that regard. But anyway, see. Because our school system truly has lowered itself in terms of ethical, logical, and moral standards. And they impose these things upon your very children. It's up to you to keep your child oriented to Bible doctrine otherwise. And obviously, they've got to weave themselves through the academic, societal norms in this regard. But it's not impossible. Even in my generation, we did have to put up a little bit of the evolutionary fallacy and human viewpoint evil that was being promoted in schools even back then. So, we have our safety net, that is Bible doctrine. You leave the protection that God has given to you, the measure of protection in this vein, under the terms and conditions of your right shepherd, being in fellowship, etc., then you become an easy target, an easy victim for the false teachers of this world to distract you and take you away from the truth otherwise. As stay with what the Word of God says on this subject, no matter what some sexologists, you know, the experts, I'm pretty good at it. Does that make me an expert? Hey, you know, I can't help myself. Doctors, And this doesn't, I don't class, y'all know me by now, I don't class everybody within, but certain mainline professions are just the way they are. You have your exceptions. Unfortunately, it's just sad. Unfortunately, it's the exceptions that generally have their act together. Doctors, lawyers, talk show hosts, or other sodomite might say in regards to the matter. Gee, remember the exhortation of Jude 17 through 25 as you await the Lord's return and take every thought captive for obedience to Christ. Again, Jude, as a final reminder of the exhortation that follows the prophetic disclosure this type of evil as it impacts the church as well as the human race in general. But you, beloved, verse 17, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you in the last time. So, this definitely applies to us today. More than ever. The last time there will be mockers. Mockers are those who take issue with the truth of Bible doctrine and are not willing to embrace it as the truth otherwise. They attack it with certain terminologies such as ideology and things of this nature, when they practice the very same things. Always remember, while I have tried to get across the board to you, you will find the whole hypocrisy in the truth. So if people are being hypocritical in regards to their statements, then you can just more or less just discount it. But anyway, last time there will be mocked. Falling after their own ungodly lust. They are nothing more than STA basket cases, letting their STA's human viewpoint lead them in life in rejection of doctrine. These are the ones who cause divisions. They're worldly minded, devoid of the spirit, or devoid of spirit. No definite article there. No spirit of spirituality at all, because they are nothing more than an STA brain computer tied into his body, dictating their moods. No spiritual, true spiritual guidance. They love the cosmos. They cater to the cosmos. They promote the cosmos. And therefore, they promote Satan's agenda across the board. Whatever it may be, to his own chagrin of scheming. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, that faith that is set apart as righteous to God, positive volition, in its passive sense towards the truth of Bible doctrine. Praying in the Holy Spirit. In the sphere, the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit who indwells each of us. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. To recognize Satan's world for what it is, and to allow that to have its proper effect of righteous indignation and other aspects that grate against our good conscience, longing for these things to be straightened out. And it'll only be straightened out by God. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Those who are weak around you, obviously show compassion that may not buy into all the truth of doctrine or find themselves weak otherwise. You have compassion. You extend them grace. But recognize if they step over that line and they start going after and joining the cosmos otherwise, then really what else can you do? Save others, snatching them out of the fire. That's fire lost at the Bema Seat judgment, loss of reward. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Some that you may be in association with that are involved in certain activities, etc., STA activities. You got to be real careful to keep your own STA in check and not let that have a negative influence you in regards to your association with these people, at those types. See, with fear, because any of us can easily slip into our own little STA trenches and human viewpoint trenches in our own lives. And truly, apart from commitment and focus in regards to your NPR. And a healthy prayer life, rebound and application. As I stated, all it does is it removes the strength that otherwise you would have to battle your own STA and dealing with others on top of it. Now to him, verse 24, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. To hold to the end. And attain to the prize category of SG3. See, to have that precious moment that when you're standing face to face for the first time, your first reaction to Jesus Christ in his glorified state will not be an act of shame. That's just got to be, to me, one of the saddest thoughts to think of. The very person who provided for you your salvation, and you have to hang your head in shame the first time you see him. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We war through our spiritual resources given to us through the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, in isolation of the STA and Bible doctrine. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Don't sell yourself short in regards to your witness to those around you, no matter how it may seem otherwise to you. Your stand for Bible doctrine in your life is creating great damage against the spiritual forces of darkness otherwise. See, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. All the human viewpoint that other people throw out there. Simply by staying in our niche, keeping doctrine in front of us, we are some of the few walking on this planet that is destroying and effectively acting appropriately before God in regards to the adversity of human viewpoint darkness in that vein. It's just a weird way to think of it, but that's what we're doing. In Bible class, as we go over our Bible doctrine, we're destroying the lofty things of Satan's world. His speculations, the speculations of negative volition. And the fact is, all the time we're thinking doctrine. We are operating on behalf of God. And that's the last part of the verse. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So, truly, you don't have to be out there knocking on doors to have a big impact in the angelic conflict. What you need to be doing, though, and what you have to be doing, is keeping doctrine in front of you at all times. And in that way, you are performing your duties in action with honor before God and having a direct effect in regards to the angelic conflict. Again, whether we see it now or not, we'll see it, obviously, in its magnified experiential way in our phase 3 otherwise. All right? Our next doctrine then.